Welcome to Clark Capital's quarterly market and economic review and outlook. I'm Patty Quinn McCauley, head of marketing. Each quarter, I'm joined by our client portfolio management leaders, head of client portfolio management Glenn Dorsey and senior client portfolio manager Pete Eisenrich. We'll be walking you through our five economic gauges and their implications for the markets. After a challenging 2022, we look forward to hearing your perspectives, Glenn and Pete, on what's in store for 2023. So without further ado, Glenn, welcome. Pete, welcome. Glenn, over to you for our first gauge.
Thank you, Patty. So just as a reminder, these five gauges represent what we consider to be the major drivers of the stock market over time. And the basic idea is if the gauge is straight up and down or at 12 o'clock, it's a neutral. If it's to the right, it's a positive for outlook for stocks. And if it's to the left, it's a negative. So we had a lot of movement this quarter with the gauges. We had two that got better and two that got worse. So Pete, why don't you kick us off and talk about the economic gauge?
Sure, Glenn. The economic gauge is one that we did move from negative to neutral. So it was one of the gauges that did improve as we move into 2023. And really what we wanted to reflect was coming off of a really tough first half of 2022, where we did have two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. We actually got pretty good outsized growth in the third quarter. That's come in at a 3.2% annualized rate. And then the Atlanta GDP Now estimate for fourth quarter GDP currently stands at about 4.1%. So much better growth in the second half of the year when we look at the economy. Now you might say, well, why would we be at neutral then? Some of the primary indicators we look at that kind of give us a little bit of a preview on what the economy, where we might be going, those are starting to flash to us some signals that we need to have some caution. And what I'm referring to there is we do have an inverted yield curve, and we think of the three-month T-bill and the 10-year U.S. Treasury. That did go inverted in the fourth quarter. It stays inverted now. That has had a pretty good history of giving us a signal that slower economic growth or a recession might be ahead. And we also have had some ISM, that's the Institute for Supply Management, some of their purchasing manager indices, which have gone below the 50 level. And again, those are diffusion indexes, which mean when you're below level, you are in contraction territory. So some of the things that we look at that give us a little bit of insight of where the economy might be going are telling us we might be heading towards a slower environment. However, I think it's also still important to remember with the economy, really have a strong job market still. One of the things that came from the December employment situation report was a drop back to 3.5% in the unemployment level, which matches the post-credit crisis low. So still a very strong job market. We are in the camp that if we do get a recession, and we think it's kind of a 50-50 call if we get one later in the year, that we do think it'll be more on the mild side because of how strong the job market is and how strong consumers have really held up in this economic environment. I don't know if there's any final comments you want to make on the economy, Glenn.
I think you did a great job with that. I think the best way to summarize it is the weather is good now, but there are clouds on the horizon. We look at the labor market. As you said, unemployment dipped back down to 3.5%. And over the last year, have 4.5 million more people working. And it's hard to imagine anything other than a mild recession if we get it with a labor market that is that strong, because the consumer is the driver of the U.S. economy. People that are working and getting pay increases typically are going to spend, and that drives the economy. As we've said on other calls, typically when you're in a recession and you drive down Main Street, the sign that you see in the storefront window is going out of business signs, not help wanted, which is the sign that we see today. So the economy continues to be stronger than people expect, but there are definitely warning signs out there. That leads us to our next gauge, the monetary policy gauge. We also move that one notch more in the right direction, let's say, but coming from a full negative to only a half negative. And the reason is pretty straightforward. The Federal Reserve at the last meeting increased the Fed funds rate by 50 basis points, only 50 basis points, instead of the, that's on the heels of four consecutive 75 basis point increases. So we really feel like we're in the later innings there. Clearly, the Fed's not accommodative by any stretch of the imagination at this point, but they're just a little less negative or restrictive than they were before. Pete, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think, a couple other points with the Fed policy is, you know, we are having a bit of a battle going on in the market where the market expectation is that that terminal rate, where the Fed's going to ultimately get to on the Fed funds rate, is lower than what the Fed is actually telling us. You know, the Fed, the estimates, you know, are that we're going to be kind of north of 5%, maybe 5.25% at that terminal rate. Right now, the market is a little bit below that with its expectations. So we do still anticipate some rate hikes this year. And I would say primarily in the first quarter, just by the quirk of the calendar, the first FOMC meeting concludes on February 1st. So we technically don't get a decision in January, but February 1st, we will hear what the next rate hike will be from the Fed. It's expected that it'll be 50 basis points, but there is a little bit small odds. People are talking about 25 basis points coming in. And I think the final part with what the Fed is doing is, let's not forget, they are in quantitative tightening. So they are reducing the size of their balance sheet in a very measured way, but that is another point of tightening happening in the market. That's why we're still in pretty negative territory, but we're kind of off of that hot boil of 75 basis point rate increases, meeting after meeting after meeting. Again, that cycle broke in December, and that's why we improved this gauge one, not still acknowledging that this is pretty restrictive monetary policy, and we still have a pretty restrictive Fed.
So brings us to our valuation gauge, which we made one notch less positive, went from one notch positive to neutral. The simple reason is stock prices have bounced off the bottoms that we saw on October 12th, and earnings estimates have been drifting down. So the PE ratio on a forward basis for the S&P 500 is right in line with long-term averages. So it's hard to say that the market is cheap anymore. We'd say it's more fairly valued. That's not a bad thing. And oftentimes you see the multiple for the market go up as you're getting closer to a bottom and in an economic slowdown, and that oftentimes is a buy signal. So we're not concerned about it. The valuations look fair, but Pete, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I think the big thing we're looking at is that E side. I mean, we really have to keep an eye on earnings. We know that estimates, you know, if we look at 2023 earning estimates, they're, you know, in that 13% range, kind of low teens if we look at what the expectation is for earnings growth. We acknowledge, we think that's high. We think that number will have to come in probably somewhere in that mid-single digit range. So that really determines where valuations are. Obviously, we're really going to have to see how do earnings hold up. I mean, this has been a challenging year where, you know, I would say stock prices, or I should say 2022 was a challenging year where stock prices really reflected a much bigger drop in earnings than we actually had. Now, we do expect that earnings growth to be more modest in 2023, but expectations are for earnings growth nonetheless. So that's something, again, our PMs, our analysts, they'll continue to keep an eye on, is where are earnings going, because that really is a key determinant on what valuations look like. So that's something we're keeping a close eye on as we move into 2023.
I think it's important to point out that, you know, with all of the discussion about recession, you know, operating earnings for the fourth quarter look like they're going to basically come in around down 3%. So it's pretty modest pullback in that regard relative to what stock prices did. And in fact, you know, again, as Pete pointed out, you know, looking for positive earnings growth going forward, maybe not as much as the market is expecting. But that's a big difference than a massive earnings decline, which has really been associated with significant pullbacks in the stock markets. And we just don't see that coming.
Yeah, and I would just add one other point, Glenn, and I know you and I have talked about this. What we're saying is not kind of, you know, secret discovered work. I mean, you know, a lot of the market is expecting those earnings expectations to come in. So again, it's already, you could argue, priced in largely to the market. You know, again, it'll depend on how much those earning estimates come in, but Glenn and I are talking about it. A lot of people are talking about it. You know, that estimate that's currently out there is probably a little bit too high. And again, the market is already talking about what is that likely going to come into. But again, something the market is already looking at, the market is already digesting earnings to be revised as we go through the early part of 2023.
That brings us to our fourth gauge, the investor sentiment gauge. This is by far our most volatile gauge. And it's also important to remember that this one is a kind of a contrarian indicator. The more bearish investors are about stock prices, the more likely that we're near a bottom. Right. So when we see a lot of pessimism out there, that's actually a positive for this gauge. So we moved it back two notches, but we're still one notch into positive territory. And the simple reason is that the maximum bearishness and pessimism that we saw in this cycle was really around the end of September, beginning of October, just a couple of weeks before the market hit the bottom. As stocks have rebounded, we've seen that bearishness come down a little bit, and it's a little bit more balanced between bulls and bears at this point, but still skewing a little bit towards fear in the marketplace. We had an extraordinary amount of volatility last year, in terms of days that are moving 1% or more was the third highest on record. The VIX, which had gotten up, had been around 30, is now trading down to the lower 20s, which is a little bit elevated, but not at panic level. So again, still some bearishness out there, but a lot less than we saw before. So this gauge is still one notch positive.
Yeah, and I would only add, not as extreme as we saw at the end of September, as Glenn said. I mean, if we think of the end of September, it was kind of the perfect storm. I mean, it really was a tough month for stocks, really kind of a big sell-off in September to close out the third quarter. We saw pessimism pick up very dramatically, and that's what pushed us into that kind of full positive position. We were almost in that oversold, overdone kind of an environment with the market. And what did we see? We saw October and November be very good months for the stock market. Now, I know our most recent memory is December, which was, again, another tough month for stocks. But overall, a much better fourth quarter when we think of stocks and how stocks acted in the fourth quarter. So again, not seeing those extremes in that optimism, pessimism. But as Glenn said, still leaning pessimistic. I think anybody that's having conversation with clients are still feeling a little bit negative, a little bit bearish, especially coming off of 2022, but not to the degree we were at as we were kind of entering the fourth quarter.
And that leads us to our final gauge, which is the only gauge that we did not make a change to, and that's the interest rate gauge, which remains one notch negative. So we had sort of conflicting elements for this gauge this quarter. Longer-term rates finally peaked and started to move down, which is what you would typically expect in a Fed rate hike cycle. The harder the Fed hits the brakes, the less likely you have future inflation or future growth, and long-term rates tend to start to move down towards the back half of a Fed rate hike cycle. That happened. On the flip side of it is the yield curve is very inverted, meaning that the yield on a three-month Treasury bill is considerably higher than that on the 10-year Treasury. That has always been, historically been, a headwind for stocks, and that condition still exists today. That's one of the reasons that we have the kind of the warning signs out there for potential recession later this year. But Pete, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, still in that negative position because, we are at a higher interest rate environment certainly than we've been dealing with for the last few years. When we look at the 10-year Treasury yield, it ended 2021 a little bit over 1.5%. It ended last year, 2022, at about 3.88%. So obviously dramatically higher. But as Glenn said, we've really seen some volatility in those longer term rates tending to move lower. And even in early January, we've seen that 10-year yield come in pretty dramatically since the end of last year. So, higher interest rate environment, from an investor perspective, it does give us opportunities to invest in these higher yielding, higher coupon bonds. So it's kind of a two-fold impact on interest rates. From an economic perspective, higher cost of capital, that can be a headwind to the economy. But as investors, we are getting an opportunity to invest in bonds with yields that we just frankly haven't seen in years. So seeing some pretty good opportunity on the bond side, better entry points when we look at where coupons are, where those yields are on the bond side. So really we are seeing some opportunities from that investor perspective, which again, for you, our advisors and our clients, probably a perspective that we're really concerned about as we move into 2023.
Again, pretty active quarter this quarter for the changes in the gauges, two getting better, two getting worse. I think that there's a lot of uncertainty around the economic environment later this year. Did the Fed go too far or not? That's really going to help shape how the market behaves later in the year. Please reach out to your investment consultants at Clark Capital if you have any further questions.
Glenn, Pete, thank you so much for your perspectives and insights today. Really helpful to hear what you think about the markets today and what you think we may expect going forward. As Glenn mentioned, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to your client portfolio management team or your investment consultant. And be sure to check out our blog for our latest market insights and commentary. That's blog.ccmg.com. Again, blog.ccmg.com, and make sure that you subscribe when you do visit so that you never miss an update in your inbox. Thank you so much for watching. Take care and have a great 2023.